Well, is a week off really a week off if you don't have the week off? Now, I'm not talking about the Boston Bruins. I'm talking about you and me, Jaffe and Razor. Have you had the week off, Razor, as the Bruins have not played since, was it last Sunday?
I've been buzzing around, but it has been a little quieter, just kind of getting stuff done into the Thanksgiving weekend. So, you know, but on the ice nonstop and chasing kids. So that never really ends. But my evenings were a little quieter, I suppose.
Okay.
You've been in New York, you're New Jersey, NHL Network. So you definitely haven't had time off compared to me.
Well, no, different though. I mean, my days are somewhat quiet though. I mean, there's a lot of prep because you never know what's going to happen in the league. Especially, I feel like we've become a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday league.
Yes.
Tons of games.
Yeah, 11 games every.
Oh my God. You know, and you know, you try and prepare so you act like you know what the hell you're talking about. And it's just hard. But once you get through, it depends on what shift you do over at the NHL Network. But no, it was all right. We welcome you. And by the way, to Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, the Bruins not having played since like, you know, whenever. But we're still going to, we have a bunch of questions. We're going to get to that. We'll pick one question that we thought was the best. We'll send that person a very limited edition Morning Brew mug. And we have gotten asked lately again, are we going to sell some? We don't have a lot left, and I'm trying to cultivate the actual number. I'm going to say we're probably in the 30 to 40 mug range left. That's about it. I mean, could we do a real kind of lottery type thing or first come first serve for holiday type thing? Maybe, and maybe not. And I will tell you as well, I have looked into ordering more, but I don't know if I really want to get into that shit show, as we've discussed in the past of Billy the Mugman. But listen, there's going to be some mug movement today as we will give out one. So, all right, you and I not talking Bruins this week, but having an opportunity, from the outside looking in, the Bruins seem to be healthy, right? They seem to be healthy. Craig Smith seems to be back. Let's play a game real quick. Instead of who's your daddy, let's call it who's your liney. So what are we going with the lines? Whatever Bruce and his staff are doing, what do we think are the best lines? I'll start. I know that they're going to keep Patrice Bergeron with Marchand and Pastrnak together. By the way, I would still split that up. I'm in the minority, I think, but I would still split. But they're not going to, so I'll put that line together. We'll start with that. I think, don't you have to stay then with Coyle in the middle between Hall on the left and Foligno on the right? Don't you just have to, for now, keep Uncle Nick on the right? Do you agree with that?
I do. I think for another reason, I put Foligno on that line as well. That being, I want the third line to be Smith, DeBrusk, Halla. I think that's a better line with those three guys. I think it fits better than having Foligno out there. I think Smith creates a different energy for that line to keep those guys skating. So yes, that's why. I like Foligno going to the front of the net. I like it being that second line being a little heavier, a little harder to play against.
Okay. So I'm in agreement. I mean, Craig Smith, it's a natural spot on that third line right wing. You take the place of whether it is Carson Kuhlman, who's played well his last couple that he's been in. But it's Craig Smith. You got to get him going. You got to get him scoring. Or Curtis Lazar, who, you know, really is, he can ride the elevator up, but he's better suited as a fourth line. So now we get to the fourth line. Now, I've been away. That doesn't mean I haven't looked for updates, but still no Frederick, correct? Still no Trent
Frederick? Freddie.
Okay.
No Frederick.
Right. That's what I thought as of 2 days ago. So, but Anton Bleed, listen, I have been indifferent to Bleeder. I have, because I feel like his game has been indifferent. Recency bias, so to speak. The last two, he's finally been what I had hoped he would be. And maybe what they hoped he would be. Maybe why they kept him instead of exposing him. You know what I mean? To waivers, which surprised me about 6 weeks ago. Okay, so Anton Bleed on the left. No doubt, no Sec in the middle. And now I still think, as well as Kuhlman's played, I mean, doesn't it have to be Lazar on that right side there?
Yeah, I agree. Lazar's, and he's very good at that fourth line role. He can go up the elevator one floor typically, but but I like him on the fourth line. I think, again, I think that to have Smith and Lazar on your right wing on your third and fourth lines is as good as anybody else's in the Eastern Conference. I think that's okay. So I like that there.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in agreement on that. All right. Now we get to the defense, where we've seen some little different things in the last couple of games before we went on yet another hiatus. And it's interesting reading the comments and hearing, you know, watching the video of Bruce post practice pressers saying that, you know, Mike Riley is going to come back in the lineup, but it feels like, you know, and Zboril's going to stay in the lineup. At least that was the indication I got.
Yep.
So who comes out? Is it just as simple as Connor Clifton? I mean, is that it? That, because you're not going to take Matt Grizzlick out. You're not going to. And I don't think you can.
Well, the question is Forber.
Right. I don't think
you can. I don't think so either. No. And you're not taking Carlo out as much as.
Yeah.
No, you're not taking any of those. So, yeah, it's got to be Clifton. It has to be.
Right.
The way I see it.
And Forbert hasn't been as steady maybe the last couple of games. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's fair. I think, but with him, it's not, it just doesn't, I mean, he does something that no one else does. And that is being 6'4", 6'5". I mean, you can't replicate that. You can't change that. You can't put that out there. If you go to McAvoy, Zboril, Grizzlick, Carlo, Clifton, Riley, I mean, you have zero sandpaper back there, like less than zero.
Right. I agree.
That's yeah. So I don't see how Forbert, he just brings something that no one else does. And if you're checking Zboril in, you're checking Riley in, then it seems to me that's Clifton's way out.
But all right, so then how do you pair him up? Because I don't think you can have a Zboril Riley pair. But Zboril have to go to the right.
No, you probably stick Zboril with McAvoy again.
Yeah.
Carlo Grizzlick, Forbert, Clifton. Or Forbert, sorry, Riley.
But no, neither of those guys really are good on the right side. That's part of the problem. Forbert's a lefty. I mean,
he's playing the left side. You put Riley, he's 100% lefty. He's not moving around. I think you put it on Riley to figure it out.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I'm mixed. I don't know if I like that. Okay. But that's interesting. I found it interesting that, that he already said that Zboril and Riley are going to be in. I think he mentioned that Zboril could slide to the right side. I just can't see a Zboril and Riley pair, at least not a long lasting one.
No, unless he's just gonna mix them all up and count on 10 power plays, both sides, you know, five each. And that gets him through one period of the play. That gets him through 20 minutes, essentially. And you just mix and match throughout.
That might do that, but that puts a lot of stress on the coaches, and then, you know, stress is the wrong word. Even more focus on certain things.
Yeah, and it's harder, much much harder to do on the road. You can easily do that, and it makes sense to do that on a Sunday night after a back to back at home. That's how all those games are played. That's how all those. You're just going. You're mixing a lot of pairs up to get the proper minutes for everybody, depending on power play and penalty kill, but much harder to do on Saturday on the road.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I don't think he's announced his starting goalie, has he? But I would be very surprised if it's not Ullmark on Saturday. Very surprised, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yes. It feels like a spot where you have to put Ullmark in, and then you go back with Swayman at home after being 8-0 and all the numbers, and you let him play at home Sunday. And maybe, you know, that there's something to be said. We talked a lot about the back-to-back last weekend, and that can be he might run Swayman at home through this record, through this 8-0. You could be looking at it now like, you know what, we got to ride him as long as we can at home. To continue to pile up these. And anytime you can make NHL history, it's kind of cool. So you give the kid a chance to do that.
Well, and if you want to play it out, when the Bruins start Saturday, restart on in Philly, if Ullmark's there, and if we're going to play that play it out game, Razor.
Yep.
Sunday at home, Swayman. Wednesday on the road, Ullmark in Buffalo. And then the Ranger game, Black Friday, Swayman back at home. Then you got a couple more. By the way, the Bruins have, starting Saturday, 8 games in 15 days. Finally, much more of a regular NHL schedule. I'm going to put you on the spot here. So I just thought about this. And if you don't have an answer, you can just say, hey, I don't have it yet. I got to prep for the game tomorrow. But have you had any time to compare why Carter Hart is significantly better this year to compared to last season? Have you seen enough of him yet to say two or three things? Because I got to tell you, the kid's much better this year. The team is still, they're good, but I don't know if they're great. They're much better in transition. They're better defensively, although they miss Ryan Ellis. But have you seen more or something different from Hart's game?
I've watched as many of the broke down games as I can. Anytime I'm watching highlights, I flip it on because Carter Hart intrigues me. I think he's as good of a young goalie as I've seen all the way through. His edge work, his skating, his reads, his mechanics, his movement are as good as any 20-year-old, now 22, 23, that I'd seen.
Okay.
So I from what I've seen is, one is confidence. His body language is so much better. So you can attribute that to COVID last season, having a bad season, not playing in front of fans, all of those things. You know, you can start to look at why he was bad last season, and the longer he plays well here, you blame COVID. So that's what all these guys who had bad years are going to do. But his skating is sharp again. He's decisive in it. He's getting his feet planted in the proper position. He's moving much more efficiently. I think he got a little shaky with his confidence in his reads, and I think he was a little delayed if you compared last season to right now where he is, meaning that rebound, he knows where that rebound's going. He's up, he's over, and he's on top of it. So that's what I've seen so far. He's just sharp. And that's like a general way of saying it, but it comes through his body language, his confidence, and his skating is much more decisive.
Okay. I don't know if you've talked to our guy, Timmy P, yet, but I had a chat with him on the way home early this morning after I left the New Jersey area with, by the way, 2 dozen bagels, some chive cream cheese, some New York style carrot cake with real cream cheese frosting. Yes, I loaded up, and Timmy said, hey, you want to talk? Should we chat? And anyway, so we talked for a few minutes about 7:30 in the morning or so on the early ride. And I said,
Timmy, up and at it.
Yeah, Timmy was up too. And I said, you know, I think it would, a good breakdown would be Razor talking about what he's seen the improvement of Carter Hart. Now, I'm not trying to force work on you, but I just think because the guys last year and this year. So basically what I was doing right there is what hopefully you will be able to translate to Timmy P, and he will be able to pull it for you.
Perfect.
All right. Done. There we go. All right.
That's got our pre-work. I got my work done for Saturday.
Awesome. Pre-game work is done.
Done today.
Hey, you know what? I'm just here looking to give you a tap in, buddy. That's it. All right. Let's answer some questions here. We asked for some on via Twitter last night. We got a nice handful. We'll pick one when it's all said and done, whichever one you guys think, you know, you think is the best. Just going to run through them. Some we may have kind of answered, maybe not. Let's hear. Jay Lacey says, are you more concerned with the lack of size on the blue line or forward depth as this season progresses? Both seem to be the Achilles heel in the recent past for the Bees. I'm not concerned with forward depth per se as much as I am about the size and more than the size, just the overall DNA of the defense. That would be more my concern.
The makeup, right? We just touched on it. All right, forward can't come out because they don't have another one of those. Like they just don't. The mix is odd. It hasn't mixed yet, and we haven't seen it consistently. And I think the forward depth's good. Again, if you can have Craig Smith on your third line right wing, that's good depth. There's a lot of teams that don't have that depth. And I understand it's below that. It's if there's injuries who's the young guy coming in. But But I think if everyone's healthy on the forward line, there's good depth there. The four lines are good.
Yeah, my question or concern on the forwards is still the same. My centers after Bergeron, in between Bergeron and Nosek, the two and three. Forward depth, I do think, is very good if capital I, capital F, Coil and Haula are good.
Yes.
I know that's kind of obvious, but I think it needs to be said. All right. Trigger. Trigger wants to know, does Connor Clifton play better on left D? I guess he's assuming better left versus right. Connor did have some good showing on the left side in the past when the Bruins had more righties than lefties. Is he better over there? It's interesting. I haven't done a deep dive into his left D versus right D games. Now your stick is, if you're right shot on the left side, your stick is to the outside more. You have, on the one hand, you can close over there. Well, you would think though, his strong side shoulder for checking is his right shoulder, but it's not as easy as some guys make it looking to play the offside, especially picking pucks off the wall. I can't tell you. I on it trigger. Can't tell you if he's better on lefty or righty.
No idea. No idea. I think it comes to, there's a little bit of it that, you know, the issue with Connor is the consistency overall. Right. So I think wherever he is, I think we've just seen four good games, one bad game.
Right.
So that's whether he's on the left or the right, it seems to bleed wherever that is.
Yes. All right. And not Anton bleed, just bleed.
No, I know. As soon as I said it, I knew yep. this guy's going to kill me.
I'm not going to kill
him. No, bleed's going to kill. Like saying that, gotcha. now I'm going to use that word 900 different ways all day long.
It's okay. That's understandable. Okay. Yuso Kaukiainen. I'm going to guess he's not Italian. He asks, does Tuukka Rask have NHL contract to play in the Olympics? The deadline is in January. I think he read, what do you mean? Does he need to have an NHL contract to play in the Olympics? I don't think so. No, he doesn't, because we see a lot of outside the NHL players for the European countries playing. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. Or is he saying, does Tuukka Rask have an NHL contract by then and then go play in the Olympics? I'm trying to read it both ways, making it a two for one here.
Yeah, well, we could touch on the next. Why don't we do the second? Because I'm positive you don't need an NHL contract.
Right.
So you can, you know, depending on that. So does he have it by January 10th, December 10th? I was talking to my agent about how the Bruins will make this work and when can they sign? Because he, you know, he's starting to skate and we talked about it a little bit. When does he end up practicing? When does he end up getting out with real players? How can he do that? And what's the circumference or what's the circumventing of the cap? How best can they do that? And basically, the thought was signing PTOs, a player tryout,
as long
as you can. Sign an NHL player tryout. That allows you to go out and practice. Doesn't go up against the cap. Doesn't be an issue there. Then going down, if you need to play AHL games, sign AHL PTO. Get you around all those issues. And then you can force it all the way to the end date. Now, that's interesting. So I don't think the NHL that's the last thing that's going to get done in this situation,
especially with the salary cap. Not that the Bruins are up against it, but if they want to make moves to add to their team, they need every penny that they can get,
and that's on a daily basis. You save every single day, like that's how that salary cap works. The more days you can bank money, the more you have come trade deadline. So it's going to be very interesting because I got to imagine it's coming soon to make those decisions and schedule the timing if he's feeling that good and skating that well.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Thank you, Yuso, for that. In the Crease Hockey Podcast, do you believe they ask, or it, I guess I should say it asks in the Crease Hockey Pod, do you believe the Thanksgiving date of who is in and who is out of the playoffs is too early? Should it be Christmas, the more appropriate date? Here's an example. In 15 and 16, the Bruins missed the playoffs after being in a playoff spot on Thanksgiving. And then in 2019, the St. Louis Blues, you know, were out and they ran through it. I don't think it is a steadfast thing with the – it's not all 16 teams have to be in. It's the percentage. It is usually 80-something or 90-something percent, it seems like, 80%, I believe, of the teams that are in. Do I think that the Christmas is more appropriate? Well, St. Louis is an outlier, what they did in 2019. That's a freaky, finish for them. Uh-huh. You don't want to play with that proverbial fire too much. You're just not going to make the playoffs. You might have one team every two or three years that does, but not nearly enough. Is Christmas more appropriate? Maybe. I mean, I don't know how many games the Bruins are going to have by Christmas. Maybe it should just be games played. Maybe that's what it comes down to. Is it 30 games played is a better delineation than just saying U.S. Thanksgiving?
Yeah, then this year it's certainly Christmas, because this year's Thanksgiving is the season's pushed back a little bit, and you're looking. So yeah, is it 20? It's, I would assume usually by Thanksgiving they've played 20, 25 games. I think also the other thing, what you're playing, probably about that, right?
20? Yeah, 20. No, because 10 usually in a normal 10
in
year,
October, 10 in November.
Yeah, so 25. I think by the time you get to know. Okay, anyways, you're right. 20, 25. Yeah. So probably, I think 33. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, and this year it would probably be more like 30. I think what people want to do, you try and find like the earliest time you can. Obviously, the easiest way to find who's going to be in the playoffs is wait till the trade deadline or wait till March. Right. Then you can really see the picture. But I think after 20 games, 25 games, and we've talked about it, giving this team that long. Because then you really know what you've got. You really do. You've gone through enough teams in the schedule. A lot of times, these 13 games, you could break it down. They've played Florida twice. They've played. You could play one team three times in 20 game in 10 right. games, and that's right. gonna that's gonna change the way you look at your team. So, 20 games, 25 games, 30 games probably seems right this season. That 30 game mark. Yeah. Because you're going to have a good idea of what teams are good. And then there's always one or two teams that are the outliers every year. But to your point, you could feel very good saying 12 of those 16 teams after right. 30 games are going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Just by talent alone.
And the big caveat this year is obviously with COVID still wreaking havoc. I mean, I pride myself, Razor, on knowing players in the league. If I don't know them, I get to know them a little, what are they, what are they about? What shot do they shoot? Direction, et cetera. Holy smokes. I don't know. It's like, I don't know a third of the league this year. Everybody's moved all over. And there's all these new guys because, teams are getting down to their fifth call up already yes. this year.
And none of those guys played last season because right. so you couldn't you don't know the top leaders in the AHL from last season that you would expect to make a jump. You have no idea. Yeah, no. It's wild.
So I do think 30 games this year is more. Now, this Bruins team, I'll still stick with 2025 until I really have a stronger opinion about it. All right, our buddy Dimitri Sotiropoulos. A lot of spotlight this week on Zboril and behind the scenes, pressure of being a high draft pick and the expectations that come with that. He's out to a nice string of games together. So any thoughts on pairing with McAvoy to see how that looks? We touched on that a little earlier. I mean, I could see it. I could. It's just, I don't see it as a regular thing. I just don't see Butch and his staff feeling like we know the pairs that we've got are going to work for 60 minutes all the time. And it's so situational because of how they're made up. Do I see him trying it? Offensive zone faceoff? Sure. I do. Now, if Zboril's got a couple of more good games in his bag, coming up. Sure, he'll continue to get more and more looks. Absolutely.
Yeah, this has been, and we talked last year, he had a pretty good opportunity. Last year he did. I think when you start sitting out a veteran guy like Mike Riley, this is really when you have your opportunity for Zboril, meaning. So, good start. Needs to be great until the new year. To really implant himself on this back.
He needs to establish moment right now. And the league is going to watch.
He's got 15 games. So everyone's watching. Absolutely. And this is it. This is when you make your hay.
Chris Bowl either Boley or Bull. Chris has written us before. A lot of chatter about the Bruins' lack of depth, below average prospect pool, and mostly an aging core minus Pasta and Chucky. I'm assuming he means McAvoy. So unless things change for the better real soon, this season and next, how concerned are you that the Bruins' best move might be to start a rebuild soon? Eek, he says. They're not going to start a rebuild right now. I think they are going to have to look at it if they don't have a successful year this year. What is success, rhetorically speaking or asking? It's two rounds of the playoffs. I don't know. They will have to look for another retool, especially the D crew. No question. I mean, up front, they've got a lot of these guys that they signed this year are all two-year deals, so we know who's going to be back. But, of course, your biggest issue now is going to be Bergeron. I wouldn't call it a rebuild. I would call it a retool. If they don't have success this year, if they don't make moves, for the deadline, they can't give up a first round pick though. Again, I don't see how they could. I don't.
Yeah, no, the only way you're giving up a first round pick is if you're getting a defenseman that is big and is on term for three more years or four more years. I'm not a draft pick guy. So if these guys are 25, 20th in the league, I'm okay with them punting a first round pick for a kid that is 26 and has 3 years of contract left on the back end. That makes them better. I'm okay. I'm okay with that too. We've talked about that.
I'm fine with that too.
But doesn't.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, you're not giving up a first rounder for a rental 40-year-old guy. Yeah. I'm 100%. That's not happening at this point. If you want to look at it, I mean, just the fact that you talk about having McAvoy, Pasternak, and maybe Jeremy Swayman, if you want to put him in the upper echelon of goalie prospects, which you probably can, that's a, 20 teams out of 30 are going to be pretty happy starting there as a rebuild. So if you want to talk about the Bruins rebuild, they've done a pretty good job retooling, and they have McAvoy's contract in place now. They have a young goaltender in the pipeline. So I get it. They don't have these massive Anaheim Ducks studs up front, but you got to be really bad for 5 or 6 years to get those guys in place. Yeah. So people calling for a rebuild here have no idea how many first top 10 picks you need, which means you're really bad.
We talked about this a couple of shows ago. I know Florida is the team du jour, Carolina the team du jour right now, Anaheim really right now with how much, but all those teams sucked for years.
Yes.
And
yes,
bad. Yeah, real bad. So let's not lose focus on that. A couple of more to get here. Our friend Giuliano, Caitlin. I hope it's Cat. I don't think it's Catlin. I think it's Caitlin, but I'll call her Cat. Anyways, will we see Bergie receive his 1,000th career point this season or in the near future? He's currently at 930 points, so it's not completely out there, but I thought, a thought I've been having recently. I sure hope so. I don't see it happening this season, though. I don't.
Yeah, it won't be this year.
No. I'm assuming he's going to play next year. Don't know, haven't had that conversation with him. Maybe you get him on the Zamboni again, Razor, and you can ask him if he's going to do that when you take a drive around Warrior, perhaps. but that's, that's kind of not this year, but I think next year he gets it. Melissa asks, who's your favorite fan of Morning Brew and why is it me? I like it. I love confidence like that. Melissa, you're right up there. You're one of a couple of thousand of our most favorites.
That's right. Melissa, anyone watching right now, favorite.
Yes. We love you, Melissa. Thank you for all of your support and always joining us. Bruins Cup Quest 21-22, Sway is the way. What is the future for Urho Vakanainen given the Bruins struggles on D? That's a name. They did not hit a good one on that pick. They did not. They missed on that pick.
That's too bad.
It is too bad. Because you've heard, not you personally, but we've heard nothing on that. Mm-mm. Doesn't seem to have, and he's been injured. I don't know, unless you're hearing anything else. I think they missed on that pick.
I agree. Yeah, no, you would be hearing him in this conversation of Zboril and Clifton and Riley at this. He would be in this mix if he was playing well and was up to it. Yeah. But he certainly obviously isn't.
All right, one more. Todd Castleman. Is it fair to say that this team is still looking for a second right wing? I don't see anybody filling that role full time right now. Let's see. Are they missing? I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, you said you like Smith better in the third slot. Nick Foligno is filling the second role, but is that really his most optimal role? I don't think that's an unfair statement then. What do you think?
No, I don't think it's an unfair statement. I think that's, you know, if you had Smith and Foligno on your right side, on your third and fourth lines, that'd be monster depth. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's a little not ideal at second line. I think they can toggle it and get the most out of both of those guys at different times. But again, you every team has holes, right? Every team has, like, you could go mm-hmm. through every line and say, you know, but you need other people to pick up and you need other things to go your way. So I guess you can say that. Yes. I don't think Foligno is a second line center in the NHL right now on a consistent nightly basis.
Yeah. So there's still that. All right. Great questions. Outstanding. We appreciate it. Do you have one that caught your fancy more than the others? I mean, which one, I guess without getting whatever too much about it, like all NPR, but which one created the best conversation? Maybe that's how we judge the mug question. Was there one?
Well, we could go back and like see how long the timing. I should have been paying attention to the time of how long each one.
Well, here, I'll just run through them because then we're wrapping it up. Lack of size on the blue line or up front. Connor Clifton, left D. Tuca's contract. Thanksgiving date. Should it be different or Christmas? Zboril. Does he end up getting more opportunity? McAvoy. The Bruins' lack of depth, below average prospect, the rebuild, you know, should we start rebuild? Bergie's 1,000 point. Let's see, favorite fan of Morning Brew, why is it me? For future of Uro Vakanainen. There were a couple of others, too, that we didn't get to, looking for a second-line right wing.
So My initial thought is the Tuca question was good. We talked a lot about that, but you don't want to be sending mugs to Finland because that mm-hmm. and there's a that good breaks, chance.
Right, it breaks the budget.
So unfortunately, that's out. Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity for an international travel, and that's just not happening at this point. I mean, I'd be happy. You know, I like the Clifton conversation. That was creative, but I do we go against the number one fan question? It seems anytime we can mm-hmm. keep the fan orientation here, and it feels like something that would be a good PR move for Morning Brew.
Okay. Well, I'm, you know, look, they're all great, but we'll go with Melissa. Melissa has been a big proponent of the show, as has a lot of other people too. And we're not playing favorites because you're all our favorites. You're like our podcast children, I guess I would say that. You all have you have our hearts. We thank you for that. All right, so Melissa, we will work that out. We will get you a mug. Real quick update before we wrap this up here at Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Practice lines from Friday. Bergeron's line, Foligno on the right side with Coyle, DeBrusque, Howell, Smith, lead, Nosek, Lazar. Your D pairs, Forbert, McAvoy, Grizzlick, Carlo, Riley, Zboril. So that, okay. I'm not enamored with that third pair. I'll give it a chance. I'm not enamored on paper, or I shouldn't say on paper because I'm not looking at paper. I'm looking at an iPad.
So. Yeah. Let's all pull for Zboril.
Yeah.
Let's have him turn into a first rounder.
That would be nice. All right. That's going to wrap up this Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Thank you for all of your calls. Holy shit. Was that? I sound like I'm a real radio guy. Thank you for all of your
Yeah, that was a radio
input. Yes. And we really appreciate it. The next Morning Brew is scheduled to be recorded after Sunday night's game. So the Bruins have a Saturday game at Philadelphia. And then Sunday night at home against Calgary, both teams playing pretty well, especially Calgary. They just thumped Buffalo last night. Both games on Nesson. Both games start pregame at 6 o'clock. And both games, you will have Razor and yours truly as part of the show. So everybody have a wonderful Friday. Have a great Saturday too. Hopefully Saturday night will be fun for the Bruins as they go into Philadelphia. Have a wonderful day, a great weekend. And as always, enjoy your coffee.